As the news for lovers of true religious freedom in this country went from bad to worse, I knew this was a week that I just had to talk with my next guest, heading up the effective shoulder-to-shoulder campaign, an interfaith organization dedicated to ending anti-Muslim sentiment. Catherine Orsborn, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much, Welton. Thanks for having me on.
How much of a shock was it when this Muslim ban was abruptly put into effect? Did you see it coming?
You know, I can't say it was a total shock. The rhetoric on the campaign trail and seeing some of the folks that Trump was putting in high positions of authority in the administration, I felt, and I think many folks that I work with felt, that we were going to see some pretty bad stuff come down the pipe. I think what was surprising was how quickly it came down and how little pushback there seemed to be from within. So that piece of it, I think, was shocking in certain ways. But I think, you know, the overall content of it, you know, I and a lot of folks working on these issues felt that something like that was going to come out sooner or later, because we had learned not to write off the rhetoric from the campaign trail.
Yeah, I'm sure you've worked directly with people impacted by the ban and the way it was implemented. What's that been like?
It's been really, really chaotic, which I think we've seen in some of the news coverage of it. There's just so many people directly affected by it. I've heard a number of stories from friends. A Syrian friend whose aunt lives here, has been in the U.S. for 20 years and can't get back. She's stuck. A friend whose parents are stuck in France, even though they live in the United States, they're having trouble getting back. They have legal immigration status, in fact. Different folks who have family members that they're not going to be able to visit anytime soon, folks who have been trying to get here for medical emergencies, and the whole thing is chaotic. Folks don't quite know what to expect because it feels like a lot of the pieces are being dealt with on a case-by-case basis, so it's impossible to sort of be clear on what to expect here. And you know, I know a lot of folks who have been in time at airports, and it's been amazing to see the response of volunteer lawyers along with the many, many activists and organizers who have been involved in that, who have spent so much of their time working with families and individuals that are getting caught in this already. So I'm just hearing so many appalling, alarming, and heartbreaking stories of families and individuals who are directly affected by this and didn't see it coming.
Are there specific dynamics that you're seeing that come from Muslim American families across the country being affected by this?
Even folks who aren't seeing a direct impact of, you know, say one of their family members or somebody being caught up in all of this. I think the other piece of this is a Muslim ban by another name, criminalizing people based on their national origin and really based on their faith, because if there are exceptions for religious minorities, then it's not fully about national origin. It is about their Muslim identity. And I think that the message that sends is that Muslims are less American and less welcome in the United States. And so even American Muslim families that don't have, you know, a direct connection with somebody who is affected by that particular executive order, there's one, a very symbolic statement there, and we've seen people who harbor a lot of hate for Muslims acting on that in the past few weeks, with a mosque being burned down and you know, waves of hate crimes happening. You know, a lot of folks feel like this is the beginning, or maybe not quite the beginning, the middle in some ways, of a slippery slope into more and more criminalization of people based on their Muslim identity.
The Shoulder to Shoulder campaign is promoting the United Against Muslim Ban initiative. Catherine, talk with us about this initiative.
Some of our partners came up with it to sort of collate and collect all these different opportunities and resources for folks who are wanting to take action against this. We've seen so many people coming out wanting to take action, and right now, if you're a lawyer, it's easy in some ways, because you can get to an airport and help directly with some of that. But a lot of other folks you know, aren't quite sure where to plug in, or they want to understand a bit more background on this and understand exactly what's going on. And so folks created the United Against Muslim Ban site to try to help direct some of that energy into the various efforts happening. And I think this is an outcome of the fact that there's been so many networks and coalitions of folks responding to this very strongly. And because there's so much going on, it gets a little confusing for sure. Folks who are wanting to plug in about, you know, how do they do that? And so that was the point of this particular website. But I think also to show the broad base of voices speaking out against this from the business community, from the military, clearly from the faith communities all across the board. We've seen folks from Jewish, Protestant, Evangelical, Catholic, Muslim, and Sikh, and so many other faith communities really speaking out loudly about this, both with their words and with their feet by showing up to different demonstrations and all sorts of things. And so the United Against Muslim Ban campaign, you know, one, it's a website where you can find information about how to take action, but it's also showing the loudness of these collective voices from so many different sectors and walks of life speaking out against this, because this is really not portraying who we are as Americans and what we want our nation to exhibit and to be.
Would you just give us an illustration of what are some individual actions that you are suggesting that concerned Americans engage in?
I think one of the top line items that everyone should be doing is contacting their elected officials. That is something that people can do every single day to call, preferably. If you can't call, to contact by email or Facebook, or, you know, showing up in their office, in their district office if you can, to make sure that, especially if you have Republican representation in your district, to be making sure they're hearing from people who stand against this. That's one piece. And then there's, of course, a number of petitions and different ways of trying to collect those voices together, speaking out in other ways, whether it's through op-eds or letters to the editor. That's also an important way that folks can be lifting their voices. And then over the last week, we've been promoting people of faith taking action by lifting up these issues in their own houses of worship, whether that's through, you know, a Sunday school class or a sermon or something like that, but making sure that these issues are being discussed within your own faith community, taking the time then to show your support for Muslims and for refugees in your area by writing letters of support and sending them to communities in your area to have a big showing of Americans who are standing together with our Muslim neighbors and saying that this is not who we want to be. We're stronger when we're together and we're standing with one another. So I think it's always a combination of showing publicly your solidarity, building those relationships, and organizing and taking political action.
Catherine, how optimistic or pessimistic are you about what we're up against in the next 4 years? Are we likely to recognize our nation when this is all over?
You know, that's a tough question for me right now. I've been really trying to hold on to hope in a lot of ways, and I think that's, you know, where I find faith and hope is in really, really hoping that the American people continue to step up and push back, and really hoping that other elected officials can continue to step up and push back and to do that more and more boldly. I am pessimistic about what we're going to see coming from the administration. Mm-hmm. I think that we're going to continue to see bad stuff coming from the administration, even when huge numbers of Americans are pushing back. But what gives me hope is all of the organizing that's happening, all of the groups at grassroots levels, as well as at political levels, that are really taking this seriously and organizing and pushing back against things that are tearing away at our Constitution, tearing away at our American ideals and our communities, creating more insecurity in the United States, creating more uncertainty here. I think the folks that are coming together at so many different levels to try to push back against that, I'm hopeful that we can make a difference by continuing that pushback and by sticking with it. I think that's what's going to allow us to see our country intact in several years. But I mean, I'm not optimistic about what we're going to be seeing from the administration. Yeah. I'm hopeful, but I'm not optimistic about that.
You know, it's so heartwarming to have people stand in solidarity with their neighbors, as has been happening in the last several days. One of the most memorable of the many signs from the women's marches were variations on that old language, quote, first they came for the Muslims now, and I said, not this time. This is going to take sustaining action with a lot of stamina required. How do we keep that up?
Well, I think that what I've seen so far is really taking care of each other, watching out for each other, and trying to help recognize when we need to step back and take breathers in order to keep ourselves sane, and when we need to help other people to do that as well. So being looking out for the people that you're working with, that you're organizing with, that you're in solidarity with, and checking in with each other. And none of us can do this 100% at 100% effort 100% of the time. It's just not possible. And so I think, you know, where folks can find spiritual and emotional sustenance, whatever that looks like for you, but really prioritizing building that into our lives, because for us to continue in this movement, pushing back, you know, it's going to be a long road, and it has been a long road, and I know so many have been on this long road for so long, and I think all of them would say that taking care of yourself and trying to help take care of other people is really important for continuing.
Catherine Osborne is campaign director for Shoulder to Shoulder, an effective interfaith advocacy organization that's at the forefront of advancing the liberty and justice for all that's promised in our founding documents, with a focus on Muslim Americans. Catherine, you do such great work. Thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with you.